the book of Exodus and chapter 3. At verse number 2. Exodus 3 verse 2. The angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of bush. And he looked and behold the bush burned with fire and the bush was not consumed. And at the end of verse number 6, and Moses hid his face, who was afraid to look upon God. Chapter 33, please, of Exodus. And verse number 18, and he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, but there shall no man see me and live. And then we know thee. Verse 23, and I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see the back parts, but my face shall not be seen. Chapter 34, please. And we'll read verse 29. It came to pass when Moses came down from the Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not that the skin of his face shone, while he talked with him. And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come nigh him. And Moses called unto them, and Aaron and all the rulers and the congregation returned unto him, and Moses talked with them. Now turn, please, to the book of Isaiah, and chapter 6, verse 1, in the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah 6, 1, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. It's a very interesting passage. We'll just move on for the final reference in the book of Acts. In the New Testament, the book of Acts, in chapter 7, and we'll look down at verse number 55. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Now that's all we'll read, and I trust with the Lord's help to conclude the meeting very simply upon what's on my mind, very, very basic truth, and I hope it might reach all our hearts with what we have heard. I suppose what would have brought this to mind is a little quote that I read recently, and it said, God has the history, or God has a history, of using the insignificant to accomplish the impossible. And I want to just take that up, because I think it's most important and striking, that if God is going to use any of us, and if God is going to use the preached word that will be preached in the gospel, and if God is going to use his servants, whether publicly or privately, there needs to be a certain experience, a certain understanding of God, a certain conception in our own hearts as to what God is, what we are. God will not use the proud, he will not use the person that feels he has the ability, not use the person that is can string the words if you want. God's looking for men. Moses-like. He's looking for men Isaiah-like. He's looking for men Stephen-like. I want to capture and get those things together. You know, when I think of glory, I don't know how you look at glory. It's a difficulty with me, so you can help me after the meeting. I'm just a learner here among you, so if you can help me, I'd be very happy to listen to any advice and help you can give me on the book. That's what the book's about. I can find it in my own thinking hard to capture what glory is. There are different glories in our Bible. There's the acquired glories of Christ. There's his essential glory. There's his official glories. And you go right through all that line of things. But what is the glory here that's referred to? Brethren, maybe my best explanation, my best understanding, my best conception is God's glory is light. God's glory is visible.
in His own person, because no man has seen God at any time. But in the past economy, God was seen by expressing, by manifestations. And those manifestations generally were like. I want to get a hold of a Moses. I want to get a hold of Isaiah. I want to get a hold of Stephen. I want to get a hold of ourselves today at the commencement of meetings. We need to capture again the presence or light of God that we serve, that we're representing, that we're trying to declare to men, that we might feel the tremendous reality. God is among us of a truth. Now, first of all, Moses, when he gets a glimpse of that light, it's a flame of fire. He's been at the backside of the desert. He has come to the place where he's going to renounce his military strength, his own prowess and skillfulness, his own intellect. Now in the backside of the desert with sheep, God is going to manifest His glory, His presence. Where is it? It's a bush. And in that bush, now I don't know what my brethren feel about this. I know it's an ordinary bush, but I don't think it's an ordinary fire. I know as many a bush did burn with a fire, a normal fire that would be set. But the flame of fire here is kindled by God. A divine kindling that Moses never forgot. Rather than we could do with that, would we not? Capture it again. The man threw off his shoes from off his feet. He said, the place whereon I stand is holy ground. He hid his face. Oh, to feel the impact of that. That never left this man. I read according to Deuteronomy, Moses' record says, of the goodwill of him that dwelt in the bush, indicating that Jehovah actually dwelt there in the flame of fire. He didn't see his face. He didn't see his form, but he felt his presence. He saw the light. Let me just point out, that's a sanctifying word. Sanctifying word. That sets a man apart. That makes a man different. Oh yes, we got saved that day, that moment, that hour when we first believed, when it was revealed to us that Christ had died for us, and when we took it in and we rejoiced, I'm 38 years in Christ. Just in January past, I can hardly believe it. I'm affecting my grandfather. I can hardly believe that either. I feel very young, but I mean that, I might be don't look that way, but if time flies, I don't know where it goes. But I look back and I remember where God saved me on the roadside. It seems like yesterday. I always like to forget my natural birth of the way. But always, always remember my spiritual. My natural seems quite a long way away. But you know, my spiritual birthday always seems just next door to me. Just seems as yesterday. That was like, absolutely. We'll never forget that, but brethren, I hope we have experiences along the way, informative life. We're speaking to young people, we're speaking to us all today. I hope we have experiences of alone with God, Moses like the shoes of our feet, divine presence felt. It has a sanctifying impact upon our being. That we're not the same afterwards. We have the touch of God, the feel, the warmth. That God is near. We breathe the atmosphere of the Almighty. We feel it in our souls, the power and impact of it. Lingers with us in here. Adam, how about that? More and more. Sanctified Lord, Moses' son. I want to look secondly. And Moses, again, that's to do with his feet, isn't it? Feet. It's to do with a bush, and it's to do with feet. But you know, the second picture we have is the cloud on the mount, and he's called up. He asked the Lord there, show me thy glory, and he only saw the hinder parts, the hand covered. Couldn't see the face. What I want to get is he moved up into the cloud. It speaks of the Shekinah glory, the presence of God. Not now in a bush, now in a mount, in a cloud.
And as he's moving up there, and as he's in intimacy with God, it's not now his feet, it's his face. It's his face. You and I take this, this has, if it's a sanctifying glory in Moses as to his feet in the bush, but linked to the bush, it's, let me get a hold of this, it's the reflecting glory. He had to bring something with him, though he wished not that it should. You know? He's not talking about, look at my face. He's not saying, I have been somewhere that you've never been. And he's not trying to condemn others. It's something about the presence of God, the nearness of Jehovah, the beating of the Almighty, the cloud that surrounded, the voice that spoke to him. And now he's moving down, the people are going to see him, and his face shone. Literally reflected the glory of that mount, the Shekinah glory reflected on the man. The old story is, isn't it? When the man approached D.L. Moody looking for a penny, to put something in his stomach, he looked up at Moody and says, Mister, you with the look of heaven upon your face, would you give a poor man a penny? Do we know anything of it, brethren? Have we got a wee touch of that? Do we know the nearness? Do you remember David Craig well told it, didn't he? Very, very aptly. Wished I could handle it like him. Do you remember the old gentleman, he and his sister living in the house in Scotland? It was called the Home of Bethany. They saturated themselves with divine presence. They prayed about everything. Never you despise a believer that prays about the smallest thing. Because I've prayed about small things too. Never you laugh at some of the things I pray for, but I pray for. I got that instruction under Mr. McElveen, so that's the way the school was brought up. You pray about everything. Well, in that home of Bethany, as they rented that home from the landlord. The landlord felt the day had come. He was going to sell the row of houses in that house he put. Sent along a little errand boy to tell the dear old gentleman that his house was going to be sold. He arrived at the door, he knocked the door, and out come the lady, the sister. And the young man looked at her and said, is Mr. So-and-so in? She said, he'll be down shortly. He's just having a little time with his father. Dwelling in the presence of the man. He's enjoying communion with God. Then he comes down the stairs slowly and finally comes to the door. And the little boy looks at him and he kind of stops back. He said, and instead of saying with a flow of language, sir, the landlord's going to sell your house. He said, Mister, the landlord sent me to, and he could hardly get the words that he's going to sell your house. The man looked at him so graciously with the beam of heaven and said, my Lord didn't tell me so. My Lord didn't tell me so. The young errand boy goes back to the landlord. He says, but the man answered him. He sent the little boy back flying on his feet. He says, tell the man to keep the house. Tell the man to keep the house. Brethren, give me a brother, a sister. Oh, that I would know it myself in communion with God. There would be something about us, a reflection that we would carry with us in a dark, perishing world, friend, that's perishing around us, that knows not Christ. They're looking not for hardness, brethren. They're looking for tenderness and softness and feeling and compassion and Christ-likeness, that the power of God reflects the dark world. Moses got the reflected glory. Since his countenance was not, but it's there. You know, I find it when I go to Isaiah the prophet. You know one thing about Isaiah that I like? Two things were changed about him. Himself and his ministry. Yeah. Oh, his ministry up to chapter 6 is fairly sharp on it. Yeah. We would say he's getting where the tire hits the road there. Chapter 6, he describes it. It's true what he's saying. The man is saying exactly what God has given him to say. He is a prophet. There's nothing wrong with what he says.
But there's a change in the man, not only the man, but his ministry after chapter 6. There has to be a change, brethren. For now he's in the presence of God, and it's an affecting glory. Not now so much a sanctifying, not now so much a reflecting glory, but an affecting glory. The man's affected tremendously by what he saw at the throne.
High lifted up in his throat, three and filled the temple. You remember what it says in, isn't it John chapter 8 and 12? Isaiah spake of him when he saw his glory. And that pre-incarnate Christ upon the throne, and all the absolute awesomeness and majesty of his being, Isaiah just had a glimpse as he looked upon that. He had to bow. What confessions. Brethren, give me a band of young men. Oh, give me them. God send them that will feel their absoluteness. God's absoluteness. That will feel absolutely insignificant, but God absolutely great and big. Oh, brethren, that's what we need, isn't it? It's not, I know, I maybe haven't got the intellect of the young. God knows. I wasn't at the school that the young were at. But I was at a school all that. I had a long conversation with a man one time. In fact, another brother put me into the bind. He drew back and left me to battle alone. Someone will do that with you. So I was left alone with this very fine, dressed, important-looking gentleman. And I said to him, "Sir, could I ask you one question? Are you going to heaven? Are you saved?" He said to me, "Yes." "Have you the audacity, young man, to ask me that question?" He said, "Do you know that I have been 7 years at a seminar?" He says, "How long have you been?" "Well," I said, "I've sat at St. Mary's College for a long time. I've been there for a good number of years. I think it was around 20.
Yeah.
I said, "Around 20 years I've been at St. Mary's College. I'm still there." "That's something. Listen, there's no college that you can have defeated. It's the Word of God. Dear Andrew Fraser, when Harry Ironside said, "Andrew, whence did you get all your learning? And how did you know the book? And how do you know the Bible so clearly?" I said, "Dr. Ironside, in my bended knees in the old dirt floor, with a little lamp and an open Bible. Now, brethren, we don't need that. We've got carpets, and we're well looked after. God is kind here. And with all the different things, the modern machinery that right at our hand, a computer, or whatever you want. We've got a whole lot of them. I'm in the whole band with the rest of you. And I have it all there. We just press a button, you have the word. Nothing wrong with that. That's fine. That's advancement. Get at it. That's fine. But brethren, let us get it through. There's no substitute. Alone with the old master. Where the light of earthly glory is misunderstood by all I do. To do what I do. Heart with Christ." Yonder, Isaiah was a changed man. He got a sight of himself. The outlook to the throne caused an inlook in his own self, and he says, "Woe is me, for I am in them. I'm a man of uncleanness. I dwell in the midst of a people of mine eyes have seen the king of all the host." You don't even observe him before that throne. Yeah. Kind of. I want to be a good Irishman, leave a good impression in this respect. Closing time. Even those seraphims, who are their feet, cover their feet, and trained in the presence of all the sweetest. Isaiah was affected. Your ministry was so sweet after that, wasn't it? When you leaf through the pages of Isaiah constantly, continually, he's expositing so clear in language as to the person of Christ, his beauties, his glories, his manhood, his majesty, his dominion, his kingdom, and he excels until he gives the most fluent language that we could ever find in our whole Bible concerning the Christ. I haven't time to do it. You know, if it affected the feet of the Moses and the face of the Moses, it affected the speech.
Exactly.
You know, when the dear man comes to the end of the road, brethren, some of our dear believers coming to the end of the road. I know some right now, it touches my heart even thinking about something Nova Scotia. Some of the choices. You might take it as a little encouragement here. Here's Stephen. The first message. You know, the seven things he was telling. Stephen. Seven things he was telling. You ever notice them? Seven things. One thing was filled with light. His face shone. But he's coming to them and they're hurting the stone now. He looks up and dead passing. He looks to the heavens and they're open and he sees the glory of God. And the Son of Man standing at the right hand, Jesus standing at the right hand. Brethren, this was the exit for a man who packed his life. Get a hold of it. It was short, but he packed his life for God. And I want to say right here in this meeting, first day here, listen. You see this world that you're engaged, if you are engaged in it, it would be absolutely an empty drum if you get a sight of the glory. I was wanting to tell you about Christ and the glory was found in him. That was a real glory. But I hope God will grant a little message and help us, brethren. Listen, we want you to help you. Young man to be real. The preachers to be real. The saints to be real. Recognize this might be the last series will ever represent our Lord. The gospel of His Son, Jesus Christ, who to know His presence, His power, so make it end.
Our Father, we bow in Thy presence in the name of the Lord Jesus. We thank You for reminding us from this little book of Ruth concerning the great purposes of God. And all the unfoldings of Thy kindness and grace, and bringing dear Naomi back, reminding us that Thou art a God of restoration, a God that recovers Thy people. And Lord, we pray that we might know something in our own little lives, experimenting with our Bibles and with God, of the presence of God, felt and known and experienced, that we might know what it is to have power with God and power with men. We look to Thee to bless the whole assembly here and all the assemblies represented. We thank Thee for them. We appreciate every brother and sister in Christ. Take them home safely and bring back tonight a goodly number to hear the gospel in the series of meetings commencing here. And bless in every other place. And remember the sick and the afflicted, the lonely, and those coming to the end of life. Give them, Lord, an abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom. Lord, hear us, we pray, as we thank Thee for Thy lovely Son, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We just sing one verse of a hymn, and the meeting is over, and we'll rise and sing it, number 376, and we're just going to sing verse 3 of this hymn. Remember, the meeting's announced. Thank you very much. And yeah. Verse 3 of number 376, and we'll stand, crown Him the Lord of Life.
Amen.